Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture lesson this morning is from the letter to the Hebrews, which was written to a group of Christians who, faced with increasing opposition, were in danger of abandoning the Christian faith. Reading from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 18. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested.
I invite you to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of John, the very first chapter, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word. Now the Word, every time I say the word, Word, that is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the good news. You may be seated. So, I wanted to come down, be on your level, be with you, and in invite you to imagine that we are all sitting at a beautiful fireplace, beautiful hearth decorated with greenery. And maybe we're all holding something like hot chocolate or eggnog or something stronger. But it's now our time for the sharing of stories. I don't know how many stories we have out there, but I hope we have at least 3 or 5 would be nice. And we'll sing carols in between. So, let me get my carol sheet ready. Good thing I have large print today. So you have your carols all ready to go as well. So there are a couple of mics that are going to be floating around out there so that I could call on you. Who's willing to share? Now what I'm looking for is a Christmas gift story, you know, a gift that maybe you received at one time that you will never forget. Maybe that gift was just this Christmas. Or if you want to just share a Christmas memory, which of course is a gift. So that's the way I'm gonna open it up. So give a wave if you have a story to share. Corey, you have one.
Yes.
Excellent.
My Christmas is a memory, actually. I remember I loved it when I was little, when my parents were alive, and I would, Christmas morning, me and my brother would be up early, we would be, and my parents would still be like asleep, and even though they might have got up and turned the coffee on, but anyway, they were like, come on, so my mom's like, hold on, let's get the camera, and me and my brother sat on the steps, and I remember we're waiting, and they go down, and my parents are like, we'll go down first, and then they go down first. And then we go down by the tree. It's my present, or my brother's, my middle presents are like for both of us, and then I had my present. And she's like, they're like opening it. But I just remember that memory of like, I wish I would be able to do that again. But.
Yep, indeed. We all have those similar stories of the morning, the early rising, if we even went to bed as children. So, anyone else? That's great. No, we're going to sing. We have to sing. So we're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High and O Little Town of Bethlehem. So have your carol sheet ready, just one verse of each. Angels We Have Heard on High, O Little Town. You have the same order of this, right? That's a good thing. Okay, here we go.
Christmas memory I have a long time ago, and nieces and nephews still remember now that they're adults. Well, when they were children, I had a black boot and I filled it with change, and it was Santa's boot, and I hid it somewhere in the house. And I made a map, and then I tore it up into the number of nieces and nephews, and then they had to sit down together and put the map together and find Santa's boot. And they still remember that today, the adults.
I love that. Boot. All right. Let's sing Good Christian Men Rejoice and Away in a Manger. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. My story of Christmas past is just from a couple of years ago. And as a preface, my mother was not a grand lady. She was a mother of seven children, and my memory of her was standing in the kitchen at the sink or the stove or cleaning up or preparing. My mom and my Aunt Addie, between the two of them, had 16 children. My Aunt Addie had 9, and my uncle was a minister. And at a time when he worked in Canada, I believe my uncle sent my mom, Bone China cups that had beautiful, beautiful depictions of scenes on them. And for a long time, I remember those cups were lined up across the big windowsill in the kitchen. And I've often wondered, I don't remember ever seeing my mom drink from the cup, any of those cups, but they were there, and then they ended up getting put in the china cabinet. And I wonder how many times she looked at those pictures of the beautiful scenes and wondered if it could just take her away from her duties as a mom. There were 7 of them. And a couple of years ago, I had them stored away. She gave them to me because I was a minister's wife, and I guess she thought I was gonna have tea with the ladies, which I never did. But thinking about my nieces. Many of them didn't know my mother. The 2 oldest nieces had more memories than the others, and there were 7 nieces. 1 lives in Switzerland, 3 live in California, a couple of them live close by, within 45 minutes or so, and I decided that I would take those 7 teacups, and I went from youngest to oldest, because oldest in the family always gets first choice, and I asked their parents, would you choose, I took a picture, choose from the cups, I'm gonna give this to your daughter at Christmas. And so each of my siblings chose the cups and packed them up and shipped them out early in December. And I included in the story, or updated page, the description of my mom with the cups and why she had them. And I said, now hopefully you'll be able to put this on display or use it. I was probably more excited than they were. Although my one niece said, Aunt Judy, I have a teacup collection, and she sent me a video to show me. I told them in this letter, please take a picture of yourself with your Christmas teacup, and I will make a collage. And I would take a picture, I took a picture of my mom when she was young and beautiful and fashionable, and I put her picture in the middle. And then I had the 7 children, or young girls, young women, with their teacups around, and I sent it to them online. And I hope that they appreciated it as much as my mother did, but if I can give you the long version, can I do that?
Yes.
I included for each of the girls a story about my mom that I hoped would connect with them. The one who's really into movies, I told them how she loved Grace Kelly and how she was fashionable at a different time. I tried to connect something for them. You know, the one who's really brilliant, did you know that your grandma was an author, Victorian of her class? But what prompted me to do it, and it's a little book that I have on my Christmas tree, a small ornament, kind of hard to read with my eyes these days, but I don't know if any of you remember A Cup of Christmas Tea by Tom Haig. And I try to read this before Christmas, and then when I take my stuff off the tree again. The log was in the fireplace, all spiced and set to burn, as the last of the yearly Christmas race was in the clubhouse term. The cards were in the mail, all the gifts beneath the tree, and 30 days reprieve till Visa could catch up with me. But if you find you have some time, how wonderful if we could have a little chat and have a cup of Christmas tea. Oh, this was his aunt. Somewhere along the line, I guess I missed it when I copied and pasted this. His parents told him to go to visit this aunt. She'd had a mild stroke that year, which crippled her left side. Though housebound now, my folks had said it hadn't hurt her pride. They said she'd love to see you. What a nice thing it would be for you to go and maybe have a cup of Christmas tea. But boy, I didn't want to go. Oh, what a bitter pill to see an old relation and how far she'd gone downhill. I remembered her as vigorous, as funny, and as bright. I remembered Christmas Eves when she regaled us half the night. I didn't want to risk all that. I didn't want the pain. I didn't need to be depressed. I didn't need the strain. But what about my brother? Why not him? She's his aunt, too. I thought I had it just as but then before I knew the reasons not to go, I saw painstakingly had built were cracking wide open and crumbling in an acid rain of guilt. I put on boots and gloves and cap, shame stinging every pore. And armed with squeegee, sand, and mat, I went out my front door. I drove in from the suburbs to the older part of town. The pastels of the newer homes gave way to gray and brown. I had that disembodied feeling as the car pulled up and stopped beside the wooden house that held the Christmas cup. How I got to her door, I really couldn't tell. I watched my hand rise up and press the button of the bell. I waited, aided by my nervous rocking to and fro, and just as I was thinking I should turn around and go, I heard the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. The triple beat of 2 feet and a crutch came down the hall, the clicking of the door latch and sliding of the bolt, and a little swollen struggle popped it open with a jolt. She stood there, pale and tiny, looking fragile as an egg. I forced myself from staring at the brace that held her leg, and though through her thick bifocals seemed to crack and spread her eyes, their milky and refractive depths lit up with young surprise. Come in, she laughed the words. She took me by the hand, and all my fears dissolved away as if by her command. We went inside, and then before I knew how to react, before my eyes and ears and nose was Christmas past, alive, intact. The scent of candied oranges, a cinnamon and pine, the antique wooden soldiers in their military line, the porcelain nativity I'd always loved so much, the Dresden and the crystal I'd been told I mustn't touch. My spirit fairly bolted like a child out of class and danced among the ornaments of calico and glass. Like magic, I was six again, deep in a Christmas spell. Steeped in the million memories, the boy inside knew well. And here among old Christmas cards so lovingly displayed, a special place of honor for the ones we kids had made. And there beside her rocking chair, the center of it all, my great aunt stood and said, how nice it was that I had come to call. I sat and rattled on about the weather and the flu. She listened very patiently and then smiled and said, what's new? Thoughts and words began to flow. I started making sense. I lost the phony breeziness I use when I get tense. She was still passionately interested in everything I did. She was positive, encouraging, like when I was a kid. Simple generalities still sent her into fits. She demanded the specifics, the particulars, the bits. We talked about the limitations that she had to face. She spoke with utter candor and with humor and with good grace. Then defying the reality of crutch and her straightened knee, on wings of hospitality, she flew to brew the tea. I sat alone with feelings that I hadn't felt in years. I looked around at Christmas through a thick, hot blur of tears. And the candles and the holly she'd arranged on every shelf, the impossibly good cookies she still somehow baked herself, but these rich and tactile memories became quite pale and thin when measured by the Christmas my great aunt kept deep within. Her body halved and nearly spent, but my great aunt was whole. I saw a Christmas miracle, the triumph of a soul. The triple beat of 2 feet and a crutch came down the hall, the rattle of the china in the hutch against the wall. She poured 2 cups and smiled and then handed one to me. And then we settled back and had a cup of Christmas tea. I sent that poem along with my little narration to my nieces, and I thought it was a nice connection that our memories we hold dear, the sense and the visions that we have, and that while someone might be more diminished physically, as they probably remember my mom, that she still, that they could connect with her in the gift that I gave.
Thanks, Jean. Let's sing We Three Kings and God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Oh,
Diane, bring a microphone over to this lovely lady. She has a story to tell, a very fresh, wonderful story that just happened. Right there, yes. Thank you for volunteering.
This was not my intention this morning, but I will support you. So Gary and I were here Christmas Eve, and we got up Christmas morning at 4:30 to get out to see our grandsons. Now, mind you, the oldest grandboy is 11. We have never spent a Christmas with them. We were supposed to go 2 weeks earlier, but my son was very ill, and we couldn't go, and we were devastated. So were the kids. So then this plan developed that we were going to come out on Christmas morning and try to keep it a surprise. And nobody let the cat out of the bag. We got up at 4:30, we were out the door a little after 5, we drove to Cranberry, which is on the other side of Pittsburgh. So we were there like 9:45. My daughter-in-law had the kids out in the dining room playing so they wouldn't see us pull in the driveway. We came in through the garage and up the back stairs into the kitchen, and Gary went first and walked down the hall and kind of peeked around the corner. The youngest one, who is 8, saw him and was like, "Pap?" And the older one was like, "Pap?" And then he looked and it was Pap. They came running over, hugs and kisses. We had pulled off the surprise, and it was probably one of the best Christmases we've had.
Thank you. All right. Let's close with the singing of "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," and "What Child."